This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, January 29th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. A civil service hearing is scheduled today in Springfield for a pair of former state personnel managers. The two were fired for allegedly rigging the hiring process to help politically connected people get government jobs. Sean Crawford reports.
Don DeFreitas and Michael Casey both work for the state's personnel agency, Central Management Services. They were charged with making sure hiring rules were followed when someone applied for a state job. But last year, they were fired because the Blagojevich administration says they gave some applicants favorable treatment. DeFreitas and Casey are expected to tell a different story, one in which they claim they acted on direct orders from the governor's office. They've offered email correspondence to back up that point. Their attorney is Carl Draper.
A key part of their defense will address those questions of who in the governor's office was pressuring state agencies or central management services for favors.
Draper wants his clients reinstated to their jobs with back pay. The hearing could last for several days. However, attorneys for the administration have filed a motion to remove Draper. They argue he's on their list of potential witnesses. If he's forced to give up representing DeFreitas and Casey, it will mean another delay. An administrative law judge will rule on that motion at the start of today's proceedings. I'm Sean Crawford.
With the theme, Let the Conversation Begin, Hillary Clinton wound up her first visit to Iowa after officially beginning her presidential campaign. In Davenport yesterday, she first spoke to several hundred people at a rally, then held a news conference. Herb Trix has more.
She used every opportunity to slam the Bush administration for its conduct of the war against terrorism, calling the president and his staff incompetent for its many tragic mistakes. And she stressed the importance of any vote in Congress to disapprove of the president's conduct of the war, even though it would be a non-binding resolution.
Because it is the first time we've had a chance to do this. We've had a Republican majority until now. They have not conducted oversight. They have not held the administration accountable.
And she hopes a bipartisan resolution can be worked out in the next few months. Clinton also promised to return to Iowa many times in the coming months, leading up to next year's caucuses and primaries. I'm Herb Trix.
Peoria officials are getting ready for this week's visit by President Bush. The president will visit the community tomorrow and plans to give a speech to employees at Caterpillar Incorporated's East Peoria plant. Few other details about the president's trip are being released, but local police say representatives from the area's law enforcement agencies met with Secret Service agents last week, and representatives from the Greater Peoria Regional Airport are preparing for a landing of Air Force One sometime tomorrow morning. An Illinois congressman says he still supports the idea of earmark projects, even though some view them as examples of government waste. Democrat Phil Hare of Rock Island says accountability is the answer. Krista Kukowski reports.
Congressman Hare says he agrees with the president's view on earmarks, projects that are often included in the federal budget without much debate or scrutiny. During the State of the Union address last week, the president announced he wants congressional earmarks cut in half. Hare said that in the last Congress, there were 14,000 earmarked projects, including some in his own district. Hare says owning up to projects by being economically responsible will get you the funds needed.
I am willing to put my name on a piece of legislation or an earmark for a school district project, for a highway project, for an outpatient clinic if I can get the money for it, for a number of things, for the Western Illinois University campus up in Rock Island, Moline area.
Democrats froze earmark funding when they took control of Congress earlier this month. That's put numerous Illinois projects in jeopardy. I'm Krista Kukowski.
State officials say Illinois employers can earn a tax income credit of up to $600 for hiring veterans who've recently been on active duty overseas. The credit's available for businesses that hire veterans who were on active duty in Operation Desert Storm, Operation Enduring Freedom, or Operation Iraqi Freedom. The program begins this tax year. Employers can earn a tax credit of 5% of total wages paid to each veteran hired after January 1st, up to $600 a year. The veteran must work at least 185 days during the tax year for the employer to qualify. Governor Rod Blagojevich and Veterans Affairs Acting Director Tammy Duckworth say that when veterans return from duty, they should be able to find jobs. Three bills targeting Indiana's largest livestock farms are expected to draw spirited testimony from supporters and opponents when they go before a Senate panel today. State Senator Beverly Gard of Greenfield is sponsoring the most sweeping of the bills. It would significantly increase permit fees for new livestock farms to help the state hire more inspectors to monitor the farms for violations. It would also require the state chemist's office to train farm workers in applying animal waste on cropland as fertilizer. That's the most common method of disposing of the large amounts of manure the farms generate. Gard says the single biggest complaint she hears about the farms arises from problems with land application of the manure they produce. Applying the waste improperly can threaten drinking water or kill fish. Graffiti found on old courthouse walls in Carmi, Illinois, could be more than a century old. Construction at the White County Courthouse in Carmi has revealed scrawlings on three walls that Judge Tom Sutton says date back to between 1890 and 1910. Sutton says it looks like jurors recorded their thoughts on the walls during long nights spent deliberating. Some writings involve decisions on cases, and others complain of heat in the summer or cold in the winter. Sutton says many names written on the walls are recognized family names from the White County area. He is hoping to eventually display the walls for public viewing. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. With the Super Bowl less than 2 weeks away, festivities are gearing up, as are ticket sellers. Commentator Amy Guida reviews some legislation of note in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
This is an important announcement, especially for those who have $8,000 laying around gathering dust. Super Bowl tickets are now available. The information came to me in an email forwarded by a friend of a friend of a friend that contained a quick acknowledgement that, boy, the $8,000 price tag is sure high, but what an opportunity. So now seems as good a time as ever to review what's known in Illinois as the Ticket Sale and Resale Act, formerly called the Ticket Scalping Act. Here's some key introductory language from the Illinois statute. Sale of tickets at more than face value, prohibited. Now, sure, the very next word is exceptions, and there are some exceptions, including a ticket broker exception, likely the one that makes the email I received legal, and others. I'd certainly contact my favorite attorney before acting or not acting. But while the exceptions may not be especially clear, the purpose of the statute is. It is unlawful for any person to sell tickets for baseball games, football games, hockey games, theater entertainments, or any other amusement for a price more than the price printed upon the face of said ticket. Reasonable service charges are okay. This Ticket Sale and Resale Act is all part of the criminal code. It's a Class A misdemeanor to resell tickets if you don't fall under one of the exceptions, and violators face a $5,000 fine and restitution costs. Plus, there's another nifty section giving purchasers who've been wronged the right to sue sellers in civil court for $100 per ticket. And while you might think that all this is a recent phenomenon, way back in 1896, a report from the Interstate Commerce Commission urged legislatures across the country to take action against persons they called scalpers, those who sold tickets for more than face value, and put a stop to an injury scarcely possible to measure. As early as 1894, an Illinois court had linked such practices with social evils in the state. Much of the reason for the law is explained by a court in a decision from 1918. Ticket brokers had been working with box offices, buying the best tickets at face value, selling them for more on the street, and splitting the proceeds with the box office in a sort of early bait-and-switch tactic. Whether the injury is measurable or not, whether it's a social evil or not, an Illinois appellate court found legislation prohibiting it constitutional in 1991 and upheld a fellow's conviction for trying to sell his New Kids on the Block tickets for more than the original price. And so it goes. Tickets always seem to be available, as last week's email shows. Oh, and that $8,000 price tag? That's for one ticket only. and the tickets must be purchased in pairs. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. And the forecast for the region, expect mostly cloudy skies, occasional flurries, the high around 30 degrees, winds southwesterly at 10 to 15 miles per hour, mostly cloudy tonight, snow likely, a low of 13 degrees, and winds westerly at 12 to 24 miles per hour, occasional gusts up to 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, colder, with a few flurries likely, the high around 20 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, January 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.